Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Roscommon GA Memories. And this week we're talking about another great match in the annals of time, the game, the Connacht final of 1990 between Roscommon and Galway. And to take us through it, we have, as always, Ray. And hello, Ray. How are you? Are you
yes,
well?
Yes, Aidan. How are you doing?
Not too bad, no, not too bad. Yeah, another a great day for Roscommon football. A great Connacht final that day, wasn't it?
It was, Ed, and it was a good game. It was the Connacht final of 1990. Roscommon beat Galway by they scraped home in the end. It was 16 points to 1-11. It was the fifth Connacht final that Roscommon had played in the 80s. After the great team of 1980, Roscommon had played in and lost four Connacht senior finals in a row in Roscommon, in Hyde Park. In 85, 88 and 89, they lost to Mayo. And in 86, Galway robbed them in the last minute with a Stephen Joyce goal. So this was a game that Roscommon could not afford to lose, Aidan. It was the fifth time in a row they were playing a Connacht final at home. And another defeat in a Connacht final probably would have spelt the end of a lot of the players and certainly the manager, Martin McDermott. But it was a tense affair in the end where Roscommon looked to be in a unassailable lead. They were 14 points to 9 ahead with about 10 minutes to go. And then Galway scored a goal from Fergal O'Neill, and then they got a point with Val Daly, and then there was just a point in it. So it was a very tense finish, and Roscommon looked very nervous towards the end, but eventually they got over the line.
That's it. And of course, you just mentioned Val Daly. What a player he was in his day. And of course, he has two sons playing now for Mount Bellamy-Loch, and I think they're involved in the Galway football panel, the Galway senior football panel as well. So the talent is going on. The talent of the line of talent is still there.
It is, Aidan, and I think Michael and Sean Daly are Val's sons, and really, really good players. Like Michael particularly has the skill of his father. Like, he's got that great ability to kick off either foot from the half forward line. Probably not in the same league as his dad, but it's very difficult for the second generation to be as good as the first generation.
But I think we saw that, and I think I might have mentioned it a couple of weeks ago as well. We were doing another game, but we were saying about Michael Donlan as well when in the video that a year till Sunday, where Michael Donlan was saying about his grandfather and his father that were playing. So I think there would have been a certain amount of pressure from people just saying, oh, you know, how good his father was and his grandfather was. So there was that weight of expectation on Michael Donlan. So I suppose to a certain extent that would be, that sort of thing would be weighing on their shoulders as well. Like, you know, given the talent that Val Daly had, you know, and can the young lads, even though they're their own men, if you know what I mean, on the pitch, you know, there'll be that, can they do what he did, you know, that sort of thing.
And I'm being a little bit unfair to Michael Daly there by saying he's not in the same league as his dad. Michael Daly is a tremendous footballer in his own right, and he's definitely a county quality player for Galway. There's no question about that. But the point I'm trying to make, I suppose, is that there was very few players in the same league as Val Daly. Val Daly was an incredible footballer from centre half forward. In that final eight, and he scored 8 points. He scored four from play.
And who was marking him on the day? Sorry, Ray.
Well, the centre half back that day was like, not to get at Donald Brady, who was centre half back, but Pádraig McNeill came in and marked him in the end as well. The half back line was Joey Connett and Paul Hickey, Donald Brady, Pádraig McNeill came in. So, like, it's like everyone else. It's a collective responsibility, isn't it, really, to stop a good player? But the thing with Val Daly was that even if a defender did everything right, he could shadow his right foot, he could kick over his left foot. Shadow his left foot, he'd kick over his right foot. Do you know, it's when you've got a class player like that who's on song, like Val Daly was definitely, for me, he was incredible that day. So was Eamon McManus Jr. But just on Val Daly's performance, like all the papers talk about, despite Daly's heroics, Galway fall short and Roscommon take the place in the sun. But it was a shootout between two tremendous centre-half forwards, two of the best of the 90s. 80s and 90s. Val Daly for Galway from Mount Bellew and Eamon McManus Jr. from Roscommon. And Eamon Jr. had a quiet enough first half. He scored a point from play. But in the second half, when Roscommon needed somebody to step up to the plate, show real leadership, Eamon McManus scored 4 points in play. And that was the difference in the end. He really took the game by the scruff of the neck, and his accuracy was tremendous, you know. And he deserves great credit for his performance, Eamon Jr. Like, as I said, it was 14 points to 9 with 10 minutes to go. Roscommon looked like they're in, you know, an unassailable lead. There was no real threat to them. But all of a sudden, Galway got a goal, then they got a point, and there was only a point in it. And Roscommon went further ahead, and Galway came back with Val Daly again getting another point. And ultimately, Roscommon got, Eamon McManus Jr. got a point at the end as well. But it was a game that Roscommon, Aidan, were playing very well in the second half and got into a 5-point lead, and suddenly the breaks went on, and the papers referred to Roscommon going back into the shell a little bit. And this is not to take away from the Roscommon victory, but if we look at it in the context of where that Roscommon team was coming from, as I said earlier on, they were coming from a point of having lost 4 Connacht finals in a row, and there was immense pressure on that team and on Martin McDermott to deliver a Connacht championship that year. And all credit to them, they did. Galway had a relatively young team. They were average age of 22. John Tobin was their manager. Of course, he went on to manage Roscommon. And he was very gracious in defeat, hoped that Roscommon could go on and win the All-Ireland. And he says he hoped that Tony McManus would get an All-Ireland medal. But in fairness to Roscommon, they kept their nerve. They were an experienced, seasoned team under Martin McDermott. And all the big guns came good for them in the end. Like Eamon Jr., Paul Earley scored 4 points. Tom Lennon came on and scored 2 great points. Vincent Glennon got a great point towards the end. Eamon Jr. got 5. Tony got a point as well. But the credit must also go Aidan to Roscommon's midfield. John Newton and Seamus Killorden were outstanding, particularly
John. That was an outstanding midfield for many years for Roscommon, really, throughout the 90s, wasn't it?
Incredible. John Newton was as good as there was, and so was Seamus Killorden. Probably, like, we've been talking about Roscommon back into the 40s and 50s, you know, in recent times, and we talk about great midfield partnerships, and, like, we haven't had tremendous outstanding midfielders in recent times. Like, we had good midfielders, but we had no midfielder in the calibre of John Newton or Seamus Killorden. And then you go back further to, like, Seamus Hayden, Gerry Byrne in 72, supposedly was immense, incredible, the Connacht final himself and Dermot Earley against Mayo. So there was a great midfield partnership. And in 62, John Stafford Kelly and Bernie Kine were a decent midfield partnership. They're really, really tall men. But all the matches we've been looking at in the 40s and 50s, all the papers talk about Eamon Boland, the midfielder from Roscommon in the 44 All-Ireland, and right into the 50s and 52 and 53 when Roscommon won the Connacht Championships. The papers talk about Eamon Boland as being one of the greatest players of all time for Roscommon. He played 15 years in midfield for Roscommon. He won an All-Ireland medal in 44.
That's it.
You know, and he played partnered Liam Gilmartin in 43 as well, I think. So, like, they were great midfielders. So, like, if you look back over the last, say, 70, 80 years in Roscommon football, you can nearly count the great midfielders we've had. John Newton, Seamus Killorden, Dermot Earley, Seamus Hayden, Gerry Byrne, John Stafford Kelly, Bernie Kine, and then Eamon Boland and Liam Gilmartin. There they are. So, like, it's all the successful teams have great midfielders, and once you have a great midfield, you have a great chance in any sport. Like in rugby, if you have a good centre, a good midfield, they can break through the gain line, they can play, like, they can go into the pack and take the ball at the breakdown as well, like Brian O'Driscoll used to do. A good midfield in soccer, if you've got guys who can dominate the play and a guy who can pull the strings with good passes, and hurling as well, and Gaelic football, of course, winning primary possession. And there's a sort of a constant to great midfielders.
They always say as well, the key to winning games is winning the kickouts. That's the real thing, isn't it? Because winning your own kickouts first and foremost, but, you know, definitely winning your own kickouts. But if you can win the opponent's kickouts as well, you're stealing the march on the opposition as well, aren't you?
Well, whoever wins the midfield wins the game. You know, it's like it's like in a battle, in a war. Air supremacy is so important. No matter what you have on the ground, if you haven't got air supremacy, or at least if you haven't got somebody who can compete in the air, your ground forces are exposed to air attack. And in Gaelic football, if you can't compete in the air at midfield, you can't dominate or at least break even in the middle of the field, it's very difficult to win a match because that's the source of your supply into the forwards. Yeah. Like you often see in games where the midfield, one midfield is totally dominant and kick out after kick out has been won by them, and the defence is just under pressure all the time. And I suppose when it's like the old saying, make hay where the sun shines, with the way football has gone, teams like the top teams midfield, you could dominate for 10 minutes and not dominate. So when you have that domination, yeah, and you're on top, you have to translate that into scores. And
well, that's it, like, because I mean, you can win all the balls in midfield too and get them up to the forwards, but sometimes, you know, there's a certain percentage of those, like, which, you know, some of them could be scoreable, some of them might be hard enough to take, but you'd still kind of miss them. Like in some games you could have, over the course of a game, a total of, like, you know, 30 wides between both teams, you know, at the end of a game, you know. And so, you know, I suppose like a county level, you'd kind of wouldn't be expecting that level of wides. But I suppose, you know, it's a fine margins at county level as well.
Absolutely. And then, like, if you have midfield superiority for a good period of time and you get the ball into the forwards, then you have to convert that possession and translate it into scores. And we spoke about the 1969 All-Ireland Under-21 final there last week when Roscommon lost to Antrim by 1-8 to 10 points, and Roscommon kicked 14 wides, Antrim only kicked 6, you know. So, you know, your wide count, as much as important, however important your score count is in the game, which is fundamentally important, you look at the stats, your foul count, your frees given away, your score count, but look at your wide count and see how, you have to keep your wide count down as low as possible. And and I'm not saying that teams shouldn't shoot to keep their wide count down, and there's a balance to be struck in terms of telling your team to keep the wide count down that might make them scared to shoot and kick a wide that they would be down as the wide count. But there is an onus on forwards to be accurate, and if the best teams have accurate forwards and good, like, it's pretty simple. If you can get a decent keeper, tight defence, good defence that can, you know, good power in your defence, good midfield that can win its fair share of possession, and then two or three good forwards, Aidan, that can score, and then you have a recipe for a good team. And hopefully, like in Roscommon, we're coming to that era now in the team that Anthony Cunningham has. We've got a decent keeper, we've got a decent midfield, we've got a decent defence, and we've got, I'd say we have three or four good forwards that can score. So, like, in 1990, Roscommon had that was the first year Paul Staunton played in the championship for Roscommon, really, and he had a good season. Roscommon won the Connacht final. Pat Dory, all the papers say he had a great game at full back, along with Des Newton. And then midfield, Seamus Killorden and John Newton had brilliant games for Roscommon in 1990 against Galway. And then in the half forward line, you had Eamon Junior pulling the strings. He was absolutely brilliant. He scored 5 points from play. Paul Early chipped in with 4 points as well. He got a free as well. So, like, Roscommon had good midfield, decent backs, decent keeper, and good forwards. So that got them over the line in Connacht to win the
cup. There was no when you see the players from 1-15, you couldn't really see any weaknesses because they were all right throughout the team. It was just pure quality. And even in 91, then the next year, like, you know, there was the introduction of, I know I'm hopping on a year, but, you know, the introduction of Derek Duggan as well. And, you know, in fairness, they could have got to an All-Ireland final in 91 as well. But it just goes to show you the quality that we had in 1990 as well. Like, you know, from back then we had from 1-15, we had quality players all over the pitch. And then there was kind of periods then from then on, or whatever we say, the late 90s or, you know, in the noughties, where kind of we were brilliant in some areas and not in others, you know, which I don't mean that in a bad way to, you know, teams in the noughties, you know, since the millennium. But, you know, there is that in teams, you know, back then compared to now. But like you just said there, we seem to be kind of addressing that now, and it's coming. We're improving year on year, and I think that's down to the management as well, and the fitness levels as well. But that was a serious team, all right, in 1990.
Well, Aidan, if you look at it, it had power. Look at the power that they had in the team, like Pat Dory, you know, Joey Connachton, you know, Seamus and Killoran, John Newton, Des Newton was a big man, you know, Paul Early as well. You know, Tony McManus was a very strong man. You know, he was 5'11" or 6 foot, but he was tremendously, everybody would tell you, like people I've spoken to says that Tony McManus is an incredibly strong man and signs on it. I never saw him pushed off a ball in Gaelic football. He would always be stronger than his marker. He had a great way of shouldering a man off the ball as well when the ball came in 50-50.
It makes it with the physical teams as well.
Roscommon just probably maybe lacked another forward or two. That's the only thing I'd say. Like in 1990 against Cork in the semi-final, like Roscommon competed with Cork for a hell of a long time in that game, and there was a goal disallowed by the referee Damien Campbell for Fermanagh, 20 minutes.
If that goal was allowed, you wouldn't know what might have happened. Maybe Roscommon could have went on.
But
then again, sport is full of ifs, buts and maybes, isn't it, really?
Surely. Derek Duggan came in 91 and he made a big difference to the Roscommon team. You know, he contributed in his general play and he contributed from the frees. And in 91, as we mentioned, alluded to earlier, Roscommon were good enough to be in the All-Ireland Final, and once you're in the All-Ireland Final, you're good enough to win it. No bad team gets to an All-Ireland Final, and Down won it. Down took that opportunity of getting through against Kerry, and Roscommon, like, we had 5-point lead against Meath that day as well in Croke Park in the semi-final in 91. And
we only lost by a point that day, didn't we?
That's all, yeah. And we kicked some bad wides in the first half, Aidan, as well. You know, we kicked, and then we had goal chances. The one thing about Roscommon, unfortunately, is we just lacked that killer instinct, you know. And even in the reports here, this is in no way to be disparaging of that 1990 team. The reports talk about Roscommon when they got 5 points up against Galway that day. Like, Galway looked like a beaten team, you know, and Roscommon looked like they could go on and win the game by a lot more. But Roscommon failed to go on and put Galway out of sight. And Galway came, and a guy called Pádraig O'Dea cut inside the inline. He beat Pat Dory and he crossed the ball at the graveyard end across the face of the goal to Fergal O'Neill, and he planted it in the back of the net. And all of a sudden, Galway are within 2 points, having looked like a beaten team. And then Valdelli kicks a point. So now with 8 minutes to go, it's back to only a point between the two teams. So anybody could win it. And this is a new Galway team, really, a team starting off with a lot of their under-21 team from a few years back and a minor team of 86. So, like, they were a young team, 22 average age, and Roscommon were a seasoned team. You know, they were a team that would have been around
a long
time.
Of course, the thing about Galway, too, is that they'd have a lot of players from, as we know, Jarlets and you know, colleges like that. And that's what, mainly down the years, you know, players coming through were mainly, a lot of them were mainly Jarlets players as well.
Absolutely, and Galway always had the benefit of St. Mary's College in Galway, and had Jarlets, and had Shum CBS. So the Galway had three great football nurseries, and St. Grellan's in or Garbly, maybe it was a rugby school in Ballinasloe, but they had those three big schools to nurture their talent, you know. And they had Galway were after coming off the back of winning the 1986 All Ireland Minor Championship. So there was a good few of those guys on the Galway team in 1990, you know. So Gerald Farrell, Francis McWalter, you know, there was Kevin Walsh wasn't on the team that day, but they had a fair few players that would have been winners of All Ireland Minor medals in 1986. Alan Mulholland, Brian Silk, you know, they had Tomás Mannion was playing, would you believe, that day? He was playing right half forward. Fergal O'Neill. So these guys had been on the minor team in 86 that won against Cork. And then they were in the All-Ireland under-21. They were beaten in the semi-final in 87. But Galway had strong under-21 teams right through until 1990. They won four or five in a row. So, like, Galway had a big conveyor belt of players to come through. So
I think in 1992, just as you say about the under-21s, I remember I was at a game, it was in 1990, the under-21s. I think they were playing, was it Mayo that year, or was it Galway in the Connacht final or something? But I remember, like, a teammate of mine as well, like the likes of Ross Shannon, there was some good players on the under-21s that year as well, wasn't there?
There would have been, like, Tommy Graham would have been there in 1990, you know. It would have been, you know, Tom Ryan would have been around, you know, played for Roscommon later on. I'm trying to think, Lorcan Dowd, Fergal O'Donnell, they would have been all around the under-21, Shane Curran, Derek Duggan, well, maybe not Derek Duggan, but certainly Shane Curran, they would have been there thereabouts in 1990 as well. So.
And Ross Shannon was always very handy at club, but
yeah.
he was always county quality as well, wasn't he, Ross Shannon?
Ross Shannon was a very good, very, very good player for Roscommon Gaels in the half-forward line, and he did a good, decent job with Roscommon minor team there, I think it was in 2011. They got to the semi-final and Tipperary beat them and only by a point or two, and Tipperary went on to win the All-Ireland. So he did a very, very good job that year, you know, and
yeah.
I think they won the Connacht Championship, if not mistaken. So, but the 1998 success was a final that Roscommon won. They weren't absolutely convincing in the game, but when you're under so much pressure to deliver and you have been beaten so often in the past, to scrape over the line was all that you needed to do, and Roscommon got over the line. That's all that mattered. They got the cup, and the manner in which they did it is really irrelevant now. Credit must go to that team for their resilience to come back time and time again after losing so many Connacht finals. And in 1989, Roscommon lost the Connacht final in Hyde Park in a replay to Mayo. And would you believe, Eden, they probably played an awful lot better in 89 in the replay, which they lost, than they did in the final in 1990, which they won, which is a great sign of a team that they were able to play, you know, really well.
I
think the weight of expectation on them was so great that's what really maybe hampered Roscommon. But they had leaders on the field, as I said, the Pat Dorries, the John Newtons, the Seamus Killordans, the Paul Earleys, Eamon McManus Jr. and Tony McManus. They were great leaders. You know, these are guys that were great footballers for Roscommon. Really, really good players. And they represented, they put the effort, you have to credit the effort that those people put in for Roscommon. Year on year, they came back after bad defeat after bad defeat. And in 1990, they got the reward 10 years after the last Connacht Championship. And like, you have to hand it to like Tony McManus. Tony would have been around 33 at that stage, and he was still as good as ever. Like, you know, and he probably played better at 30. You know, after in his 30s, Tony Mac was incredible for Roscommon. There's no doubt about it. He was amazing.
His levels of fitness never waned, really. Even up to the day, up until his final season when he retired, like, his fitness was still nearly the same as when he started playing for Roscommon, I suppose.
Well, it was, and in 1992 against Mayo in the Connacht final, like, you couldn't fault him. Like, he scored one of the best points he ever scored for Roscommon, was left foot in the second half. It was an unbelievable point. And just the 92 final against Mayo was just like the crossbar broke, but Roscommon, the sending off had a big impact, and Roscommon gave away a terrible goal. It was a free in for Mayo. It was one of the defenders was coming out. All he had to do was take it on his chest. Unfortunately, it bounced off his chest. Mayo got it. I think Ray Dempsey scored it. Now, it can happen to anybody. We all made big mistakes, but at that level, a big mistake like that cost Roscommon dearly that day. It didn't defeat them, but it was probably the key score. Mayo then just kicked on after that. It sort of, Roscommon, you know, lost heart. But in any way, 1990 proved to be a great season for Martin McDermott and for Roscommon, eventually putting the ghost of so many kind of final defeats in Hyde Park to bed. They went on to play Galway or Cork in the All-Ireland semi-final. They lost 17 points to 10. Had a great goal disallowed that Tony McManus scored. In the previous round, Roscommon had a very, very hard job to shake off Leitrim in Hyde Park. Leitrim had come strong that year with PJ Carroll as their new manager, and Mickey Quinn had won an All-Star in 1990 as well. They won the All-Ireland B. They won the All-Ireland B later on that year against Sligo in Hyde Park. So Leitrim were a common team, and Leitrim were very, very, very strong, and they were winning that game right up to the very end. And then Tony McMahon, or Paul Early and Vincent Glennon, I think, scored two goals to pull it out of the fire for Roscommon. But if Roscommon didn't win that game against Leitrim, it's quite possible Leitrim could have won the Connacht final, because Roscommon, you know, Leitrim were far more impressive in the semi-final than Galway were in the final. But, you know, the papers talk about Roscommon's courage, character, resilience to come back, you know, for a deserved win. When defeat stared them in the face and they looked like a losing team, they regained their composure and the character with a remarkable late rally to put Galway out of sight, you know. So,
well, I suppose really you could put that down to experience too. Like, you know when they're, I suppose, you know, the old saying, when you're backed into a corner, you know, experience 9 times out of 10 will get you out of the corner, will get you out of trouble as well. And maybe, like, you know, when there were those points behind, that they had the experience not to panic and just to keep tipping away. Like,
that's true, Aidan. They didn't panic. The Roscommon, as I said, looked like it looked like here we go again sort of thing, because in 86 Galway beat Roscommon with a late goal by Stephen Joyce, and Roscommon were by far the dominant team throughout. And similarly in 1990, however, Galway did lead at half time in 1990 by 6 points to 3, and coming up to half time, and then Roscommon scored 3 in a row to make it 6-6 at the break. And then Roscommon in the second half, Eamon Junior, they raced into a 14-9 lead with 10 minutes to go, and it looked like the game was going to peter out with Roscommon pulling away. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Aidan, Galway got this goal. As I said, Fergal O'Neill scored, and then they got a point. And then we're on the edge of our seats all over again. You know, and we're thinking, yeah, is it going to happen? And, you know, Valdaly scored a point, as I said, and then Tommy Lennon got a point, and Galway came back and got a point, and Roscommon got Eamon Junior again at the very end, you know. So it was a great credit to Roscommon. They didn't panic. A lesser team would have panicked, but that was a great Roscommon team. They you know, they deserved more than just two kind of championships. That team deserved to have played in an All-Ireland final, and they probably deserved at least two more kind of championships. And I said to you a couple of weeks ago on the show that I thought in 1989 Roscommon probably were better, and in the kind of replay against Mayo, they lost just in extra time. You know, Mayo got 2 goals and Mayo went to the All-Ireland final. So I think Roscommon theoretically could have been in the final in 89, you know, because Tyrone weren't that great. Mayo beat Tyrone. Mayo got to the final against Cork, and they had Cork on the rack, you know. So 89, I think, was a missed opportunity, unfortunately, for Roscommon. But 1990, you never know. If we won in 89 against Mayo, we probably would have had the pressure off us, and we could have played with more freedom, and that experience of getting to a semi-final in 89, who knows what it might have done to the team. But
because, I mean, you know, like that day we were saying about Derry Duggan against Meath in the All-Ireland semi-final in 91. Remember the cracking goal he scored? But he was unmarkable that year.
Absolutely. Derek was fantastic, like against Leitrim in the first round, you know, against Mayo in Castlebar, and against Mayo in the replay, and again in the semi-final against Meath, he got the great goal. But he won the kind of final for us in 91 with all those frees. He got 8 points, Aidan, you know, and you cannot underscore enough, how important a free taker is in Gaelic football, hurling, and in rugby. You know, if you've got a guy that can kick the scores, if you have a team, if you're up against an opponent and you know they've no free taker, and you can see teams from time to time commit fouls knowing that they're not going to be punished because the opposition hasn't got a kicker. But if you've got a good free taker who's going to punish every indiscretion, well, then that's so important. Again, Derek Duggan, look at all the great free takers we've had over the years, like, you know, Dermot Airlie, Derek Duggan, Donny Shine, you know, brilliant free takers that make such a difference to a team, knowing that you have a guy that can kick 8 or 9, 10 points. I think Eddie Lowe and Aidan, I played with Eddie in under 21 and on a senior squad, and Eddie Lohan was as good a free taker as I've ever seen. You know,
I even remember him with the CBS now. I was on it in, was it 94, 95 and all that. You know, he was, it would have been kind of his last season playing for the CBS. And, you know, at training, in matches, like, we were playing St. Natie's that year, and we had friendly after friendly and all that. And, geez, be it in a training match, or a friendly match, or even just practicing frees. He was always practicing, and that's the key with, even for goal kicks, but also for free kicks, practicing against everything. And, like, you know, that year, and, you know, in the years after that, you know, nearly everything, he was putting them over from all angles, Eddie was.
He was. He was a right-footed kicker, but he could kick them from the left as well. You know, he could kick them from the right and the left. And one of the best performances I ever saw Eddie put in was against Galway in the drawn game in Shum in 98.
He was absolutely incredible. He scored four. I think he scored 245s that day.
Yeah.
And one of them was against the, I think they could have been against the Breeze as well, you know. So he was a great player, Eddie, from the Freeze, you know. So, but the 1990 game, Aidan, was a great victory for Roscommon. They were under a lot of pressure. It looked like it was going to go away from them again. And Martin McDermott deserves great credit as a manager. Like, you know, he was a great coach, Martin McDermott, in terms of his dedication, his loyalty. Like, he managed Roscommon from 1988 to 1992. And that was a great Roscommon team. They were in five kind of finals in a row. And seven if you include the two replays. And they just got two kind of championships over. They deserve more. They deserve to be in a final, at least an All-Ireland final. And who knows, in 91-8, they could have won the All-Ireland final.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're compared 91 to 92, the amount of survivors, I suppose, really the amount of survivors in from 91 that were there in 1990, that was on the starting 15 in 92. But I suppose we'd go on to that in a second. But I suppose the point we may, I was just thinking of there is, you know, in 1990 and the win we got and the way we dug deep and I suppose the experience, even when Galway scored that goal.
Yeah.
You know, in your eyes from seeing it as well, would be, you know, was it a case of, you know, we made the right switches positionally at the right time, and we say that the substitutions that were brought on at right times, you know, do you reckon that was one of hers on the day as well as the experience?
Well, I think that the experience, Aidan, was so important. And I think as well that, like, the Brehan Vincent Glennon for Tommy Graham, which is important because Vincent got a very good point. Pádraig McNeill came on for Andy Leyland, and Pádraig McNeill sort of shored up the defence. He was a very good centre half back, Pádraig McNeill. And then Pádraig, I think, he kept his place for the All Ireland semi final against Cork. But I feel as well maybe Roscommon took their eye off the ball a little bit, you know, because when you're 5 points up and you're sailing, and Galway had gone out of the game because Roscommon were dominating the midfield so well that the goal came sort of out of nowhere. But it just shows the impact that the goal had. And then Roscommon got Valdaly put them, but Galway just a point behind. And then Roscommon sort of like shook themselves down again and says, "Hang on, we're not over the line yet." And they came back up the field. You know, Valdaly got the point, and Vincent Glennon got a point. You know, so as I said, Roscommon, you know, they knew that this is a game they couldn't afford to lose. You know, Eamon Jr. got the last kick of the game, last score. It was a game Roscommon couldn't lose. They couldn't afford to lose that game. And those guys on the Roscommon team knew that. They knew that we had to win this game. And they just drew from their reserves of experience, of hurt, of whatever had you know, afflicted them for four kind of finals in a row. They drew from those reservoirs of hurt and says, "We're not going to, it's not going to happen us today." And then they just redoubled their efforts. And, you know, the midfield was strong. And they just, they got the vital scores in to keep themselves in front. A lesser team could have folded, like, because Galway were just a point behind them with a few minutes to go, the Valdaly point. So Galway looked like they were in the ascendancy and they could go on to win it. And they could have gone on to win it. But Roscommon said, "No, we're not going to bow down to them today." And if you look at it as well, Aidan, Galway, I suppose, give Galway some credit. They were a young team under John Tobin, but they had beaten Mayo in the first round of the championship, and Mayo had almost won the All-Ireland the year before. So they weren't a bad Galway team. We're not taken away from Galway at all. They were a good side, Galway. So, like, Roscommon were up against a very, very good Galway team, and it's very rare you see a bad Galway team in a Connacht final. You know, they had a lot of players who had won All-Ireland minors that had been winning Connacht Under-21s for fun for 3 or 4 years in a row. So these guys had a lot of experience. They'd also played, as you pointed out earlier, with St. Mary's of Galway. They played with Jarlath of Tuam CBS. So these guys had played football at a high level and had been used to winning Connacht championships. So,
well, I suppose really, as well as that, and you and I, as you and I would know from playing games down the years when we were playing, you know, finals can take on a life that they're a completely different type of match compared to a semi-final or any earlier rounds than the back. You know, it's totally different preparation. You know, the little things, as I always say, is the little things that can win you, win or lose. There, it's just a different type of game compared to any other game, really, isn't it?
It is.
As you said,
if you got two teams with a similar level of ability, and experience, anybody can win a final if they're within reason. You know, an underdog can win a final, and God, we were the underdogs. Scammon, red hot favourites, playing at home, playing their fifth kind of final. That they needed to win at Hyde Park, and imagine losing that one. It would have been, you know, you can't describe the disappointment that would have been felt among the team first and foremost, but among the supporters as well if Roscommon lost that game. But I think they showed conviction at the end, Aidan. Many times Roscommon can be accused of lacking conviction, lacking killer instinct, not being ruthless, you know. And Roscommon were in a strong position, that Galway back into the game, but they showed their guile and experience to draw on the reservoirs of hurt that had befallen Roscommon so many times in the 80s to push themselves over the line and to deliver the Nestor Cup for the first time in 10 years, you know. So it was...
That could have been the thing too, that won it for them that day was, yeah, they probably had looked back in their reservoir of disappointments, I suppose would be a philosophical way of putting it.
Yeah.
And they were kind of, they probably thought back to all those disappointments back earlier in the 80s and said, right, this isn't going to happen again. So this is what we need to do to ensure it doesn't happen. And obviously it works. But I suppose at the time as well, as you and I have often said in previous shows, you know, Martin McDermott was a great coach at the time, you know, and things like that. And, you know, the panel of talent he had in those years as well was unreal. So I suppose it was a combination of all those things.
Oh yeah, definitely. And if there was a movie to be made about the Roscommon team of the 80s and kind of finals, certainly the Hurt Locker would be an apt name for it. Like, but we have to give Roscommon and the lads that played for Roscommon tremendous credit. They put in so much effort, so much service to Roscommon over so many years. And if that game was lost in 1990, it would have been a tragedy. Well, it would have been not tragedy is too big a word. I wouldn't use tragedy as sport at the end of the day. It would be a massive disappointment. Do you know what I mean? It's a game of football. You know, it's not, you know, it's important. But as Jurgen Klopp says, football is the most important thing of the least important things in life. It's so important, but this bigger picture in life and football is so important. But I thought it was great. Phraseology by Klopp. He's a bit of a philosopher himself, you know. And when the football was stopped in England there recently in March, he says football is the most important thing of the least important things, and it was a brilliant way of putting it. So we had lost four kind of finals in a row in Hyde Park, and really for the players, you just wanted them to get their reward. You know, the fans wanted to win, but ultimately you want to see the players who deserve success. You know, like John Newton, Tony McManus, Eamon McManus. Those guys, Paul Earley, they deserved to you know, the success in 1990 and in 1981. And I know I've said it so many times before, that Roscommon team would not have looked out of place in an All-Ireland final. And when they're in the final, they could have won it. But the Nestor Cup was won in 1998, and Roscommon went on to successfully defend it the following year in Hyde Park in a replay against Mayo. And that was, of course, the Derek Duggan show that day.
Both games, I suppose.
Yeah. So it was 1990, Galway beaten in the Connacht final in Hyde Park. Since 1990, we've beat Mayo in the Connacht final in Hyde Park in 91. And then we beat Mayo in 2001 in Hyde Park in the Connacht final. And we haven't won a Connacht final in Hyde Park since 2001. So, like, it's... Yeah. It would be great to beat Mayo this year and get to kind of final against Galway, be it in Croke Park or wherever it's supposed to be. They're talking about bringing games to Croke Park now with social distancing, you know. So it's long overdue a kind of final victory for Roscommon in Hyde Park, I think.
Yeah, that's
right.
What were the teams that day that lined out and the subs that came down and the scores, I suppose?
I was just going to give that to you. The Roscommon team on that day was... Paul Staunton of Elfin was in goals. Gary Wynne of Boyle, right full-back. Pat Doria, rogue full-back. John Des Newton, left full back, and he was playing for a team in Donegal, Cairn Donagh at the time. Joey Connaughton, right half back from Clonagale. Centre back was Donal Brady from Elphin. And Donal Brady was a really good utility player for Roscommon. He really performed, you know, good matches over the years. Then left half back Paul Hickey from Kilbride. Centre defield Seamus Killorden, Elphin, John Newton, Garda. Right half forward Tommy Grant, St Aidan. Centre forward Eamon McManus Jr., Clonagale. And then left half forward is Andy Leyland from Castlerea. Top of the right, Tom Lennon from Clan. Full forward, Paul Early from Glavies, and then Tony McManus was top of the left from Clan. Subs Vincent Glennon of St. Foyle for Tommy Graham, and Pádraig McNeill for Roscommon Gaels for Andy Leyland. And the Galway team, Pat Comer, Brian Silk, Gerald Farrell, Francis McWater, there was a Seamus Fallon playing right half back. John Fallon. Alan Mulholland, Aidan O'Shea, Brian Moylan, Hughie Blaheen, Conor O'Dea, he was the captain of Galway that day. And then that Val Daly, Mount Bellew, centre half forward, Tomás Mannion, left half forward, and then Tomás Kilcummins, Declan Croucher, and Fergal O'Neill. Now, Tomás Kilcummins, he was from Ballygar, and he played under 16 and hurling for Roscommon, and I think he won an All Ireland under 16 medal with Roscommon, Tomás Kilcummins. Yeah. And then Val Daly was centre forward, and he managed Roscommon in 2005 for a while, I think after Tommy Carr left. He was the manager for that season after for the championship. So there's a bit of a Roscommon connection there with the Galway team. And of the Galway team that played that day, only Tomás Mannion was on the team that won the All Ireland with John O'Mahony in 1998. So there was two.
I think Fergal O'Neill was on the he was thereabouts floating around the panel, all right, but I don't think he was on the All Ireland final panel.
Yeah.
In 1998, and so it just goes to show you. Of course, remember that in 1998 too, they had some other players that didn't really feature that much, Robin Doyle and a couple of other brilliant players that were brilliant minors, and they just
Pádraig Boyce was another player in the panel.
Michael Clarity, he played for Gerlitz as well. So there was some serious talent that didn't even make the match day panel, you know, for the All Ireland final. But they would have featured on and off at different games throughout the championship. But when it came to the All Ireland, I suppose that's the one cruel thing about county matches. And John O'Mahony even said it in that documentary. It's very hard when you see lads that have played in different positions in the league and throughout the Connacht campaign and this, that, and other, and then have to leave them out totally, even out of the match day squad. Yeah. It's not nice for the players, but it's also tough.
Absolutely.
For the managers, because the manager, if he could, I'm sure he'd have 40 lads. You know, talking out that day, but I suppose there are the rules. I suppose that the GAA have, there's only a certain amount of lads able to talk out that'll get the medals. But it just goes to show you the level of talent Galway have.
Oh yeah,
that they were able to leave out players of that quality.
Yeah, and no doubt about it. But if you look at the minor game, Aidan, that was played that day, Galway won the minor game pretty easily by 118-2-3, and Roscommon team. Had Derek Duggan was on that Roscommon team that played in the minor game before the senior game. Kieran Heenahan was on the team as well, and Don Kinnellan. So you had three players that went on to play for Roscommon in later years, and Fergal O'Donnell came on as a sub in the minor nine match. Now, Galway then had Ja Fallon. He scored 6 points that day. Gary Fahey, fullback. So those two guys then went on to play, obviously, very, very well with Galway in 98. So there was the new kids on the block were showing their hand in 1990. Like Derry Duggan was Roscommon's top scorer in that game. He scored 1-2. And I remember he scored a brilliant goal in that minor final as well, even though they were well beaten. I remember being at the game, I remember seeing him scoring. And funny enough, I think, Aidan, it was a drop kick goal, just like he scored against Meath in 91 in the semi-final as well. So Derek Duggan scored a great goal. So Derek Duggan was the top scorer for Roscommon in the minor, and Ja Fallon was the top scorer for Galway. And
two great players.
Yeah, Ja Fallon was at another level, wasn't he? Like he was just one of the, like, Derek was a great player, but you know, leaving off the Roscommon hat at the moment and looking at it objectively, you'd have to say Jack Fallon is one of the greatest players of all time, you know, I'd say in Galway, you know, he's one of the best ever footballers, you know. And that's
it, because I suppose really in the Ireland final in 98, you know, the one kick I remember from him, like, and he scored many a great point, in fairness, he was unreal. But was that free from that sideline kick, you know, from all the way out to the sideline to put it over the bar from a sideline, now that takes some skill.
Absolutely, isn't it? Like, I know I keep repeating myself a lot of times in this programme, but he did the same against Derry in semi-final, and in extra time in Hyde Park against Roscommon, like, Ja Fallon went to a different level. Like, he scored points in extra time that we just couldn't match, you know. Alright, they got a soft goal, but outside of that, Ja Fallon's performance in extra time was just that little bit above everything. Like, he kicked, like, maybe 2 or 3 points, but it was some of the scores he got were just, there was nothing anybody could do about it. Like, our defence was tremendous, but Ja Fallon just went to another level. And similarly against Derry, as I said, and as you pointed out in the All-Ireland final, he was incredible as well. So, like, he was an incredible footballer, Ja Fallon. You know, he was just one of the greats. And I say that as objectively as I can. I don't think I'm not speaking against my own county or anything, but when you see greatness in action, you have to comment and say, there it is.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what.
And then, of course, you have Pádraig Joyce as well, another.
That's right.
Amazing guy.
Michael Donnell and Derek Savage. These guys did it on the day, and, you know, they did it every day they went out. You know, there's so much in attack, and as well as that, they had half backs they could attack. You know, that Pádraig, you know, Sean Ogdenprayer, Declan Meehan. These guys were extra forwards coming from the defence.
And I mean, if you look at the, you know, when Roscommon played Galway in the first day and in the replay in 98, Roscommon were able to match them man for man in the forwards as well, because, you know, Roscommon had serious quality. Like, you had Francie Graham, Nigel Dineen, Tommy Graham, you know, you had some Fergal O'Donnell.
Lorcan Dowd.
You know, Lorcan Dowd. Serious talent. Yeah, Eddie Lohan. So, I mean, those six, if you comparing our six forwards to their six forwards.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to say they were equal, really.
Well, there wasn't much in it. No, there's no question.
Yeah.
I would say that Galway probably had the edge a little bit in the sense that they had the edge on every team in the country, as it showed later on. Maybe we would have gone to the same level if we had advanced that level, but we would never know that now. But in terms of the way that the Galway six forwards combined their unit, the way their interplay and their cooperation, combination play, and just their understanding, they were just an incredible six-man unit. Like, Paul Clancy, Ja Fallon, Pádraig Joyce, Michael Donnell, and Derek Savage, Niall Finnegan. No question, they were a great unit. But I would give credit to Roscommon's defenders. Roscommon had six. The Roscommon defence in 98 was tremendous. You know, like, you had Dennis Gavin, Damien Donnell, and Ina Gavin in the full back line. Clifford McDonald, centre-back. Kieran Heenan in one wing. Michael Ryan, the other wing. Those guys, they nullified the Galway attack. And Roscommon, I'd say, the reason why Galway had struggled against Roscommon in both games, I think, was because Roscommon's defence was so good. They probably didn't come up against
Absolutely.
It. Didn't come up against
I remember there was a feature in that documentary as well. I think between the first game and the replay that year, he had a team meeting with the lads. He had a way of getting into the players' heads and really kind of, you know, getting the best out of them, or winding them up.
That's right.
Because he was saying, like, he had the headlines, you know, don't have midfield capable of winning a majority of team possession, Galway fancy dance and all that. Yeah. And then he said there's only one answer for that. And to be fair to Galway in the replay, unfortunately for us as Roscommon fans, it's, you know, those little kind of, the John O'Mahony factor kind of, maybe, you know, that kind of might have been the grain of rice that tipped it as well, because those little psychological things.
Yeah.
You know, and, obviously, you know, the lads put it to, they weren't for look, Roscommon played really well that day, but I think you know Roscommon played very well and they nullified that Galway as much as they could, and that was testament to the fact that it went to into extra time. But I think that Galway team, from looking at them, I think no matter what was going to be done, Galway were going to win that day anyway. But it was very, you know, it would have been nice, I suppose, if Roscommon won it. But they just seemed so, so determined that they weren't going to leave it behind again.
I think, Aidan, being there at the time, I think the John O'Mahony impact probably wasn't that much in that kind of final, in the sense that Roscommon knew John O'Mahony, knew Galway. Roscommon's preparation were very, very good physically and psychologically. And I just think it came down to an extra time. Galway, I personally put it down to the fact that Jack Fallon had more legs. You know, he came with that extra bit that nobody else had over the two matches in extra time, kicking those points when Galway, you know, needed him. You know, we just couldn't get that extra gear in extra time. Like, I think our squad was short because, like, in extra time, Roscommon took off Tommy Graham. And then put on Derek Duggan, and then to put on Tommy Graham again. Do you know what I mean? And if you see a situation where a team has to put on the same player again that they've just taken off, it's a problem. Do you know?
Yeah.
This is my own personal opinion. I think Niall O'Donoghue wasn't on the squad, but I think Niall O'Donoghue could have made a difference in that extra time. I think Luke Dolan could have made a difference for Roscommon as well. I think that's my personal opinion. I think I can imagine Niall Donoghue. I played with him at minor under-21, and I saw him playing with Donny Shine the year before that as well. I was on the squad, and Niall Donoghue was causing teams all sorts of trouble. The previous year in '97 in the league in Ballinasloe, Roscommon beat Galway pretty well, and Niall Donoghue was up front, and he was absolutely unplayable. Galway couldn't handle him, and a year later, he's not on the squad. Now, that's the only thing I would say on that squad, that I felt Niall O'Donoghue, people might argue, say he wouldn't have made a difference. I believe he would. I think because I played with him, against him as well at club level, and he was small in stature, but he was very, very fast. He was very, very mobile. He could take a man all over the place. And the other thing as well is that he could score. He could score. Luke Dolan, for me, in the 90s, was one of Roscommon's best forwards. All right, some days he wasn't as good as others, but I think he could have made a difference as well. So I think Roscommon in extra time. Extra time is where that game was won and lost against Galway in the replay. And I think looking at it objectively, we didn't have we had to bring on Tommy Graham again. And that was, Tommy was absolutely immense in both games.
Yeah.
But I think, like, Tommy at that stage, he had given all he could, you know, and they had to bring him back on. I think if we went to a third game, we probably would have beaten them. You know what I mean? I think it's just extra time was that we didn't have the for whatever reason, Roscommon didn't have that extra mobility or forward line play or substitute impact subs that could have made the difference in extra time. That's my opinion from being there and looking at it from what I've seen in club football and from being on the county panel for the year or two before it as well. I think that, Niall O'Donoghue went on to play for Dublin, and I think this is my own personal opinion. I think he could have made a big difference to Roscommon in extra time. I think he would have caused Galway a lot of trouble. And but look, that's all, you know, it's all talk now, isn't it? Like it's all over. Roscommon played magnificently in both matches. The teams were magnificent. The management prepared the team magnificently in both games. And Roscommon, in my opinion, should have were entitled to win at least the first match in Tuam. Yeah. You know, Galway got a free for, in my opinion, for no reason at all. Like Clifford MacDonald had a tackle on, I think it was Niall Finnegan. Next thing, it's a free in. Like, it was unbelievable. There was little or no contact, and it's a free in and straight in front of the goals. I'll think back to the replay, like little things that make the big difference. Like, Lorcan Dowd was very unlucky in the first half of that game. A big high ball came in, and he got a good box to it, a good punch to it. But Martin McNamara got down to save it. Like, who knows if that goal had gone in we could have won. But as you said,
he's a serious goalkeeper as well. Like, throughout that season, he was a huge reason behind their wins as well, because he made some great saves throughout the championship, especially against Mayo in the first round.
He is a good
he actually admitted himself that maybe the year before his kickouts were the cause of them losing against Galway the year before. So it was, he was able to turn it around the following year, which is, you know, he got justice, I suppose, in the end. But, he was a huge part, he played a huge part then the following year in the winning the All-Ireland.
He did, but I have to say, I was on the squad in 98 and I was proud to be part of that squad and the way that they represented Roscommon right throughout the campaign of 98 in the drawn game and in the replay. They were credit, you know, and they couldn't have given any more. And I think most people will acknowledge that the replayed game was one of the best Connacht finals of all time. And
I remember watching it was a Saturday evening, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was incredible match.
Lovely day for us as well. But the thing I loved about that game was it was so evenly balanced throughout.
Yeah.
You couldn't put a sheet of paper between them, like.
No. Like the Roscommon team were immense, and as I said, they were very well prepared. And I don't think John O'Mahony's impact would have been that big in Connacht. You know, I think Roscommon were equally as good, if not better, than Galway. And on that day, it was the little things in extra time. We spoke there recently about the last few minutes, you know, the game's been won and lost in the last few minutes, you know. And we spoke about the Ireland Under-21 final a couple of weeks ago in 1966, where Roscommon were losing that game by 5 points with 8 minutes to go. And they scored 2-2 in a row, you know, in 5 minutes. Scored 2-2 in the last 5 minutes to go ahead. And a game that they looked like they were dead and buried in, and they scored 2-2. So all of the games, Aidan, it's down to the last... down to the wire. It's like the great races in athletics. It can come down to the wire. And in football, it comes down to the wire. Look at the 1982 All-Ireland final, Kerry and Offaly, came down to the wire. Dublin and Kerry in 2011, Cluxton's free, it came down to the wire. In 98, it came down to the wire and in the replay. And just that one, you know, that little bit of an edge, I think, that Jaff Allen had. For me, this is my personal opinion. Tipped the scales in favour of Galway, unfortunately, next time. We just didn't have the same up top. I don't think we could have done with more legs in extra time. That's my personal opinion, and I'm just giving it to you, you know what I mean? And others may beg to differ, and that's fair enough, but I'm just, you know, giving the opinion as I see it, and that's not in any way being critical of the people involved in it. That's just an observation that I have from watching the game.
Wasn't it interesting the way you could the way we played Galway in two kind of finals kind of in that era in the 90s. We played them in 1990 obviously, and then 8 years later, and it just goes to show you the differences, I suppose, the players that step aside and retire and all that, and the players that come in to replace them and all that, you know, how in that eight-year period, how things have changed and molded, and you know, I suppose football had changed in that 8 years in many ways as well.
It was getting more intense, I suppose, Aidan. But those guys in 1990, like people think nowadays the footballers are putting in an amazing amount of effort. They were in 1990, these guys were putting in serious effort as well. You know, they were putting in, you know, weekends, two or three nights a week. You know, they were the same. Maybe not as intense, but certainly they were putting in equally as much, I'd say, you know. But I'll just give you a few of the quotes, Aidan, that was after the match, you know, just a little bit of context to it. Like, Paul Early was Roscommon captain, and he said after the game, "Now that we have the pressure of winning a Connacht final behind us, we can express ourselves, and what better place to do this than in Croke Park?" He was annoyed when his team seemed to relax in the second half after opening up a 5-point gap. He said, "We foolishly, if you like, sensed we had victory." Do we talk about complacency before, Aidan? He says, "We foolishly, if you like, sensed we had victory. But we should never react this way. In the end, it was always going to take something great to decide it. And thankfully, Eamon McManus did just that with a superb insurance point." So, like, he's talking about Roscommon taking their foot off the gas. Now, Eamon Jr. McManus said, he was in jubilant form after the game, and he said, "I thought we were dead when they got the goal and the point that followed. And I think that had we been beaten this time, a lot of us would have been finished." So, like, that's what we're saying throughout our talk here, that a lot of the guys probably would have hung up their boots. But John Tobin, the Galway manager, said, "I was delighted with the way we fought back, and I looked forward to a fruitful few years ahead. We're only starting. I would dearly love now for Tony McManus to win an All-Ireland medal." So that's a nice little way to conclude it, you know. So
it was very sporting, like. Despite them being in defeat, like, you know, they were still... But that's a testament, because he actually managed Roscommon as well at one stage, John Tobin.
He did, Ed, and he managed them in 2001.
Yeah, that's
which
it.
Which was great,
so,
you know.
It was great to have his experience as well. But I suppose, really, just touching on 98 as well, you were saying there that you were on the squad as that. And I suppose, for yourself being involved as the second choice keeper or whatever, you know, what was it like being around the panel? And I suppose what you have in Gay Sheeran as manager and different things like that is, I suppose that all created the platform for such a great year that year.
Absolutely. And like, there was great people there, like Tony McManus, Jerry Fitzmaurice as well, you know, and Sean Goodbye, great people, you know, they were really good people. And the squad, like, was a great team. They were very committed to Roscommon. Trained very, very hard. They, you know, had a up and down league campaign. You know, nobody would have given Scotland much of a chance going into the 98 campaign. And then looked like we were dead and buried against Sligo. And then Fergie came on and Tommy Graham came on and got two late goals. You know, Eddie Lohan and Nigel Dineen. And then played brilliant in the replay down in Sligo. And Tommy Graham scored 1-2. And then going over to Tuam for the first game, Roscommon were very quietly confident, you know, because they'd trained very hard. All the pressure was on Galway. They had beaten Mayo. And it was a very wet day. And Roscommon were brilliant in Tuam. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. The effort, the commitment, the work rate, the intensity. They put Galway on the back foot all the way and led by a point of time up. And then Galway got this free from where, I don't know. So the replay then was in the Hyde Park, as you said, and Roscommon were very, very unlucky not to win that. And I still think, looking back on it, that that it was an opportunity for Roscommon to take an unlikely kind of final. It was a chance that was there for us, and we just were edged out of it in the end by what I thought an extra time Jaff Allen just had that little bit more. When the game was there for the taking in extra time, going into the final few minutes, Galway got the few points that tipped them over the line. You know, we can say the goal that Michael Donnan got was the difference, but okay, it was. There's no question it was significant, but there was still time for us to come back in the game, and Roscommon did come back in the game after that. You know, and it was just those points, that killer points
I think that's an essential thing too, is when you have a big score like, you know, the way Galway scored that day, you know, not to let the head drop. It's very easy for it to happen, like, you know, because it happened at such a, I suppose, kind of an important time. And even though there was time left that we could have possibly went on and won it, you know, it's like everything else in life. If you know, when something like that happens, you can either let your head drop or you can say, right, roll up the sleeves and, you know, say, all right, let's continue on and let's see what we can do if we can. And that, I think that's, like you just said there, that's what Roscommon did that day.
They did it. And Roscommon, even after that goal that Michael Donnan got, Roscommon didn't fold. Roscommon redoubled their effort. And what's the measure of a good team? A team that has given absolutely everything for the jersey. That Roscommon team, the management, you know, Gay Sheeran was the manager. Those guys left no stone unturned that year. The players left.
Well, of course, Gay Sheeran as a player, he was a determined sort of guy as well, and much like yourself in the goalkeeping position, like me, you do everything you possibly can. Dedication, I suppose, as a keeper, well, as an outfield player as well. You know, everything comes down to fine detail. You know, in preparation and everything. So I suppose that was a good thing that I suppose. Gay Sheeran brought to the preparation for matches as well, and I suppose that fed throughout the team as well.
Yeah, Gay Sheeran was an incredibly dedicated footballer, both at club and county, and he played football right into his 40s, if not later. And there was no stone unturned in 98 for Roscommon. It was just a dramatic ending to that game, and it was 100 minutes yeah. of absorbing pulsating action from one goal up to the other. And as the man said, it was towards the end of the game, an extra time that Galway pulled away. Michael Donnan got the goal, all right. But a Jack Fallon, he kicked some incredible points in extra time towards the second period of extra time. So that's where. Ultimately, the game was won in extra time, and we played well in extra time, but we just, when you need someone to come and just take the game by the scruff of the neck or do something magical, our players did their best, but we just didn't have enough, and God, we just had that little bit extra. I still think if we went to a third game, we still would be back to, we still would have been a great chance of winning a third match, but just in that extra time period.
It would have been nearly like the Dublin Meath kind of saga in 1991, where it went to, was it, two or three matches? I suppose it was what it was at the time, I suppose. Yeah. And I suppose really from a Roscommon point of view, even though it kind of aches to have lost to them that day, they did go on and win an All-Ireland. And I suppose you can look at it from two points of view. You could say, that could have been us winning the All-Ireland. But also, there's no disgrace in losing to a very good team, which Galway were. And actually, they did go on to win the All-Ireland. So I suppose it's a very shallow thing. It's a very kind of harsh thing to say or whatever, but, to think that, at least we lost in the Connacht final, but we were beaten by the eventual All-Ireland champions, which I suppose is another way of looking at it,
Yeah, but you would prefer to be the reverse to be the case.
Exactly, yeah,
it's little consolation, and I don't think anybody, the players would be, that... If you like, encouraged by the fact they lost the original Ireland champions or the eventual Ireland champions, they look back as an opportunity.
Opportunity lost.
But at the same time, the measure of a team is how did they perform? What was their performance like, and how much did they give? And they gave everything that they had. There was no more in it, they gave Roscommon.
Well, I suppose that was the thing about Roscommon that day. They did give it everything they could, and I don't think. To be fair, no one could ask any more of them because they did leave blood, sweat and tears out on the pitch in both of those games.
Correct.
And I think, like you just said, you remember the pan last year, and I think every fan that followed them throughout the season was very proud of them for everything that they had done, because I suppose really if it was a lesser team, a lesser team wouldn't have been able for Galway. Galway would have, it could have been a cricket score against anyone else.
Yeah. Look, that's just the way it ended up. And Galway went on to win it. And, Roscommon gave everything they had. But the great thing about the 1990 team was that they were under pressure towards the end. And the great players that they had, like the Paul Earleys, Eamon McManus Jr., Tony McManus, Seamus Calore and John Newton, Pat Dory, they pulled it out of the fire for Roscommon. Pádraig McNeill came on and made a difference as well. And Roscommon ended up winning that great Connacht Championship in 1990 and ensuring that we weren't going to have a record of having lost five Connacht finals in a row at Hyde Park.
Well, that's it. Especially on our own home patch.
Yeah.
But listen, thanks very much for that, Ray. And we look forward to doing another Roscommon GAA memories next week.
Thanks, Aidan.
Okay, no problem, man. That was Ray Lannon, former Roscommon goalkeeper.